Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Welcome, everybody, to another InventRight podcast. Today, we have a special guest, a former student of ours, Matthew Palmer, who is now an InventRight coach. Welcome so much, Matthew, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to go ahead and just jump right in with asking you to talk about your journey with licensing, where it began for you, how you became an InventRight student, and then throughout that process, how it transitioned to you now becoming an InventRight coach. So I'm going to let you take the mic or have the floor, even though we're not on a floor. But anyways, I'm going to let you go ahead and just talk about your journey and have fun.
Okay. So let's see. It's been quite a journey. So I actually have a pretty extensive background in a lot of hands-on trades. I've done construction. I've worked in automotive. I have a degree in automotive. I've worked in the oil fields. And more recently, I've worked as an overhead crane technician. So pretty broad. And I got a lot of customer service experience actually in the crane industry. But all along that time, even before I was even working, I was tinkering. I was basically the kid that my dad just absolutely loved, because the day after Christmas, all my presents, anything that was electrical or any toy of any kind, whether it was electrical or not, actually, I would take apart. And you know, back then it was, I'd take it apart and I was too young and I didn't know how to put it back together. So this would just infuriate my father around Christmas time. Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah. My dad'd be like, that's fine. I'm not upset at you. Just put it back together. And I just kind of give him that look like, Dad, I got it apart. What more do you want from me?
Right.
You know, that evolved into learning how to put it back together, and just a general curiosity of how things work. And then over time, as I started working as an adult in construction, and then, like I said, automotive, I started thinking on that next level of, like, not how do you just take things apart and put them back together, but how do you create things? So I kind of started getting into the role of an inventor. And I never put a name on it. I just started making things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I actually developed something for a company I was working for, and that I was told later actually made them millions of dollars, that I realized, hey, you have a skill here, and you need to utilize it. You need to pursue this inventing. Not to mention, you love doing it already, and that's what it's called. It's called inventing. So I actually started out trying to do this stuff by myself. I didn't know about InventRight or anything like that. And I basically made, I want to say, like, real world attempts at inventing, not just tinkering anymore. I would say I did about three inventions by myself, and I really didn't know where to go. Interesting enough, I didn't jump right into patents like many do.
Yeah.
But I did try to reach out to companies before having patents with an NDA. It was troublesome, and I just realized at some point, I was like, hey, you know, you need to look on the internet more. You need to find out how other people are doing this. So, you know, the long and the short of it is I started going on YouTube a lot, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden I see these two wacky guys, Andrew and Steven, and I start watching them, and I'm like, these guys are a bunch of goofballs, but I'll keep watching them. And then over time I'm like, you know, these guys aren't just goofballs, they're funny, they are funny, I enjoy watching them, but they're making a lot of sense here. And it was interesting, I watched several videos before I heard them say anything about how they had an InventRight website, I watched several videos before I realized they actually had a program for students. But even then, I'm quite the skeptic. So I literally watched their videos for like 2 years before I decided to take the plunge. And one day I just said, you know, I'm gonna take the plunge and become an InventRight student. So I became an InventRight student. And
what got you over that? So you're watching us for 2 years. You're watching the InventRight videos for 2 years. I think I was watching them for maybe, I was probably watching them for a while too. Maybe a year, maybe it was like 6 months to a year. But so what was that moment for you where you were like, okay, I'm going to make this decision. Like, so I'm making this decision.
So to be honest with you, there was two ways I was thinking. One way I was thinking, these guys are giving so much information up, they don't even realize how much information they're giving up. Why would I ever need to pay for their program? That was, to be completely honest.
That's common though. Like that's not, yes, that's a valid point. A lot of individuals do have that thought process. That we do, we provide so much wonderful value in the content and in the information for inventors, product developers, anyone really that has an idea or wants to create an idea or bring it to market. So it's very valid, I think, because I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot.
Yeah, so I basically was like, I was thinking like that, and it's funny because I started changing my thinking as I was watching more videos, because I actually started thinking, you know, if they're telling you this much information for free, and which is just amazing, I was like, I guess I warmed up to Steven and Andrew, even though I had never met them. And I just said, you know what? Their program has to be amazing, because this is what you're getting for free, you know? So I was literally, I was actually walking through Home Depot, and somebody grabbed me and said, hey, do you have solar panels on your roof? And I was like, and I know this sounds like it's off topic, but it's not.
Okay.
And I was like, no. I was like, I'm interested in renewable, you know, energy and everything, but you know, I don't have them. And so I listened to the spiel and everything, and then they said, and by the way, you get this amazing rebate. And instantly I thought to myself, how much is that rebate? And they told me, and I said, you know what, I'll get solar. And sure enough, I turned that rebate around and I dumped it right into InventRight so that I could join up with InventRight. So that's kind of, it was the combination of those two things. And I've never regretted it since. It's been just an unbelievable resource for me and what I'm doing. The part I can't stress enough to people is when you're watching the YouTube videos, yes, they're awesome, and you're watching them on your own and you're getting them for free, but the thing is it's kind of a one-way interaction. It's coming to you and you're not corresponding back. And so when you become an InventRight student, now you're actually having conversations with a coach, and now you're actually part of an inventing community, which I don't know about a lot of others. There are a ton of inventors out there, but for the most part, we're pretty spread apart. We're usually our next door neighbor is not on the same page as you are with inventing. So I would share with my friends and even in hands-on industries what I was doing. And they still give you that kind of look like you're the kooky inventor from, Beauty and the Beast.
So or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Exactly. They're just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they're just like, and that's a better example, honestly. And they just kind of give you that look, and they're respectful usually. I mean, that's why they're your friends, but you could just tell they're like, hi, yeah, that's great. I respect your passion, but that's where it ends. Like,
yeah.
It's not a shared enthusiasm.
Right.
And you get that with InventRight. And that's what, honestly, I think isn't mentioned enough, is that shared enthusiasm, that underlying shared enthusiasm that will help you drive forward to actually make your dreams become a reality.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Yeah, you can't go to usually your friends or your family as far as when it comes to how do I get this product out to market, especially if they haven't done it, or your neighbors, not many people even know about or even have heard about licensing. They'll usually tell you about Shark Tank, or they'll send you to a patent attorney. And
exactly.
So you're always kind of like, you're just wandering around lost. Even sometimes local inventors groups the guidance and putting you in the right direction. I mean, that can also, sometimes people get overwhelmed or confused about, well, what should I do with my product, with my situation? There's so many, we might have a lot of resources here, but I just need more guidance with me. Like what about my idea? And so I completely agree. The shared enthusiasm, and then being able to be part of a community that's very much focused on licensing and the licensing process, and being able to interacting with your coach, interacting with other students in the community. I think those are all a great part of it. Absolutely.
And it was just a natural fit for me, because it became very clear to me that, you know, a lot of people say the word inventor isn't usually seen in a positive light, and that is 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an oddball where I actually love the word inventor, but it is still not the word I use when I contact professionals. I use the wording product developer.
Right.
But I knew pretty early on, you know, my ideal situation is to be a full-time inventor. And it was between that and helping people, you know? So mm-hmm. naturally becoming a coach has made a ton of sense and have been an amazing fit for me.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with all that inventing and everything is I really feel, like I said, all that additional enthusiasm has gone a long way and really brought a lot out in me, because I'll backtrack a little bit here. But basically, I realized early on that I don't just want to do one idea. I want to do more than one.
Yes.
And I don't want to just be okay at this or good at this. I want to literally be an expert at this.
Yeah.
So as I told you, I was very skeptical in the beginning. I did my due diligence and I researched the hell out of everything. And I basically was like, who is most qualified to, you know, help me become a real expert at licensing? And I realized early on from Andrew and Steven's videos, that was the funny thing, is I'm researching all these companies, but I'm referencing Andrew and Steven's videos for my information. And that's where it became really, really clear. Like, you keep going back to these guys mm-hmm. for information you need to reference to research other companies. It's like, these are the guys. These
yeah.
are the guys, you know. So I did my research, but
the answer was there.
The answer was there.
Right. The answer was right there.
And it wasn't a hard decision in the end at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
how was your experience when you actually became a student? Did you expect Did you expect to license your first project in a couple of weeks, or were you, you know, were how did the experience go as you were actually going through the program and being a student in the program?
Sure. So, like a lot of students, I came in with an idea that was a very solid idea that I was excited about and that I had already started on. basically, I had a great coach, and she was very straight and to the point. She said right away, you know, the reality of this is it's the wild, wild west out there. So, you know, we're going to give you every tool, excuse me. We're going to give you every tool possible to help you to license your product. But obviously we can't predict the future. The market is going to do what the market's going to do, and your potential licensees are going to do what they're going to do, mm-hmm. you know? So just, you need to be aware of that. And I really appreciated that because that was literally disclosed to me within probably 5 minutes of my first phone call with my coach.
Yep.
So, you know, right away, I'm just like every other student, like, well, so what do you mean? I might not get my product license. And it was like, yes, that's absolutely correct. You might not get your product license. What she told me was, but you got to look at it this way. While your goal may be to license this product, my goal is to teach you how to learn this process and do it time and time again, until you actually do license a product, you know, so you'll learn the skill set so that you can keep going after this. It is a numbers game until you do license a product. And if you do license your first product, that's amazing. That happens sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time. And it's kind of like, it's just a full disclosure, but I really appreciated that because like I said, I made the decision. I want to be a professional and I want to be an expert at this. Being a professional and an expert at this is realizing you are going to fail. You're not a professional or an expert unless in all reality you do fail.
Yeah.
Because you're not hitting this industry and this way of doing things as an inventor hard enough. Absolutely not. Because let's not kid ourselves. The odds are against us.
Yes.
But here's the thing I've known this for a long time that, you know, some of the greatest challenges reap the greatest rewards. So that's why I basically accepted that from the very beginning. I said, you know what? After that first phone call, I was a little like, oh man, I was a little bummed at first. And then I thought to myself, no, you said you want to be a professor. You said you want to be an expert at this. So you need to give this your 100%. And when you get no's from licensees, like she said, may happen, you need to be professional and you need to ask them, if you can, you need to ask them why they weren't interested, what you can do to improve it. Be very respectful, not be short with them and just hang up or not reply to an email. You need to get in the game and really be in the game. And so after that first phone call, my mindset was already on the next level thinking.
Yep.
You know? And then so moving forward with that, I just had that in the back of my mind the entire time. Even when I got into three or four companies with my product. But the entire time, I just kept practicing walking that line of be humble, but also be confident. Understand that this could all fall apart at any minute, or it could all work out. And if it falls apart, it's going to suck. But you know what? Next idea, or what I thought then too, is maybe revisit this one in a few months, you know, or to a year, because there's a variety of reasons why companies may say no. And one of those reasons could literally be the timing is off, you know? So, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, and students don't realize that just because you get a no does not mean you're going to get a no a year from then or 6 months from then, you know, it's not a given. So, But yeah, no, so I kept on pursuing, and I actually had a de-icer system that I was working on for driveways. And
I remember this, Matt, by the way. You just said de-icer system for driveways. I remember exactly this. I remember this call. I remember you telling me about this product.
Yeah. And it was really exciting. And I basically ended up targeting an actual de-icer company because I thought this makes sense. You know, my system is going to move de-icer product, so maybe they would be interested in it. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, they were. But what I didn't anticipate was some of the how many more conversations were going to happen after getting into the company.
Yes. Interest is just the tip of the iceberg then, huh? With your de-icer, you got to start de-icing the iceberg.
Exactly. That's where InventRight with my negotiating coach at the time really helped, because, you know, they were just asking a lot of questions that I'd never been asked before.
Yeah.
You know, and now that I've been through the process, it's interesting because once you've been through the process, your confidence level just goes up substantially, because I'm not saying that you're never going to see new things. You're always going to see new things, but you're not like, I've never been down this road before. Mm-hmm. You're like, I've been down this road before. It might've been a while back, but I've been down this road before. And, but that's where InventRight really, really shined for me too, was just, like I said, I always had somebody with me every step of the way. And having somebody with you every step of the way as a product developer is not a necessity forever. But in the beginning, when you're trying to start this as your new career in life, mm-hmm. absolutely, it's essential, because you don't know what you're doing. You know, you can be the most skilled inventor ever in coming up with great ideas. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I mean, we look back to Nikola Tesla. I mean, it is hard to imagine anybody more brilliant than that man at inventing. However, he was horrible at business.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he's not credited for the inventing the radio, because he was horrible at business. Mm-hmm. So that's what InventRight does, is it really teaches you. It doesn't really so much teach. It does teach you how to be an inventor, but I feel like that's mostly a talent that students already bring to the table.
Yeah.
InventRight teaches you how to do it right. Like, literally, it says it in the name, you know, it teaches you how to do it right. And that's so important.
I agree. I think one thing that you touched on that I feel like is a really big key is your change in mindset. Because how many individuals, you know, have this, of course, a lot of inventors are excited about their idea and they want to get their idea licensed. And to listen or hear somebody say, you know, you might not get it licensed. And then to, of course, you're going to have this kind of either so many different feelings, emotions, and thoughts about just that one statement. But the key really is, okay, well, it doesn't matter whether I get it licensed or not, I'm still going to try. And the mindset of, I still want to do this and I still want to learn it. And I want to, I want to keep pushing forward. I don't want to, you know, the fact that yes, it may or may not get licensed, I don't want that to be what ends up, you know, stopping me in my tracks, but it ends up continuing to push me and say, well, what is it that I need to learn? What is it I need to do? What are the tools that I need? And that humbleness and the confidence that you gain and being able to go and continue through and persevere through any challenges that you end up facing, because you hear it all the time. You know, you are only going to, you know, if you don't take any shots, if you don't try, you know, if you don't fail, if you don't, it's just like, well, you're just going to be back in the position of where you were at in the first place and not moving forward. So I think that's a huge key for a lot of inventors to try and grasp, but also change their mindset, reframe their thinking and their expectations of, okay, well, if this idea that I have, this one idea or one out of how, like, if this doesn't get licensed, then that's the end, or then it doesn't work, or I'm going to give up because the licensing process isn't that, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And you said something about persistence. I mean, that's a key part of all of this. And you know, maybe that was, actually, I will definitely say that was another factor in how I licensed my first product. Mm-hmm. Because I got several no's. I even got people calling me up saying, your system's not going to work. And I was like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, I've got like 35 years in this business. And I'm telling you right now, what you're proposing will not work. And I was like, you know, that's a pretty devastating blow, right? You know, if
that's
somebody says
that. Bold statement for somebody to say. That's a very bold statement. But yeah, thing, I also, if I were you, I would also question that, because when somebody throws out this, I have 30 years experience, I have 20 years experience, you had 30 years experience. You had 20 years of experience. If you are not open to change, if you're not open to change, that's all you will have.
Exactly.
30 or 20 years of experience.
And you know,
so, yeah.
And you know what's funny was, you know, I was, that's an upsetting blow, right? So what do you do as an invent right student? You contact your coach.
Yeah.
You don't just pout about it and stop. So correct. I contacted my coach, and my coach pointed out something. From time to time, students will occasionally contact somebody on their hit list, and it's not seen as a great open innovative product for them. It's seen as competition. So what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. They're going to try to discredit you, and they're going to try to make you feel, especially if they feel like you're new at this, like what you have is not worth it. So, in speaking about persistence, so there's this awesome quote that I absolutely love. I've done a lot of my research on older famous inventors, so I'm not a fan of the guy compared to some other inventors, but Thomas Edison does have an amazing quote that I look to a lot, and it says, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. And I think there's a lot of power in that statement. If you really think about that, there's just, you know, if you give up, you'll really never know if you were that close or not, because you gave up, you know, and that was, you know, that's, I didn't give up. I ended up licensing my product. It's on Amazon. It's on HomeDepot.com. And it's actually being, pushed through several other websites, and it's ideally going to be in some stores pretty soon as well. But what's interesting about it is it's a lot of work to get somebody to license your product. But once you get somebody to license your product, you end up having a connection with them that's pretty amazing, because you had to do a lot of coordinating with that person or company to make that happen. And once that connection's made, and Steven talks about this a lot, about sticking to an industry, mm-hmm. That's extremely valuable, because guess what? If you're sticking to an industry, next time you don't have to get in to all these companies. You could literally start reaching out to the companies that you've already licensed to, mm-hmm. and they'll be interested. In fact, my licensee, has already reached out to me this year and said, hey, we've gone the residential route. I'm ready to go to the commercial route. What do you have as a new product or variation to change this for me? And that's amazing when you have, wow, when you have companies come out to you and say, when you get to the level of you're not reaching and pitching ideas to where they're actually coming to you and saying, I roughly want something like this, develop something.
Yeah.
That is really amazing.
You're their guy. You become their guy. You become their resource. You're
exactly.
You've built that relationship with them. They established a trusting relationship. You were easy to work with. You were open and respectful of their time and following their process as well, because you're learning the InventRight process, you're learning licensing process, but then also these companies have their own processes as well. And now you're the guy. Now you're the person that they, you know, will come to for more ideas.
And that's the craziest thing. It's like,
powerful.
And my main contact at the company that I've licensed to, they've, I'm literally like, we've talked so much on the phone and emails all the time that it's almost like he's a high school buddy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not, you would think, well, it's his business, it shouldn't be that casual, but like, once you feel comfortable with somebody, you, both of you will start talking like that to each other. And isn't that refreshing?
Very refreshing.
You're actually making business moves, but in a laid back atmosphere. I mean, that's
amazing. Your guard is down, right? You become more open to, well, some people call it vulnerability, but the guard starts to come down, right? And you are interacting more with individuals on a personal level because the relationship start, you know, continues to grow. So yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so what led you to decide to become an InventRight coach then?
So I, so while I was, I'll put it this way. While I was an InventRight student, I was working on overhead cranes.
Mm-hmm.
And overhead cranes, just a little background, because a lot of people just think overhead cranes, aren't all cranes overhead. Overhead cranes are those giant bridge cranes that traverse the inside of a building. They can move the length of an entire building, and they can pick up anything in that three-dimensional space.
They're ginormous.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a crane, and I'm thinking of like ginormosity, if that's
word,
which it's not, but I like to make up words. I'm thinking of this massive, massive machine.
Yes. And they are. And they're money makers is what they are, because they allow factories and manufacturing facilities to move very heavy things and get a lot of work done very quickly, a lot faster than a forklift could do. Because like I said, they can pick anything up in a three-dimensional space and they can literally go over stuff. So when one of those breaks down, it was interesting because I had always worked with my hands, but this was the first industry that I worked in that required me to have a very high level of customer service and empathy because basically there would be times where I would have to go to a customer, you know, plant manager, and let them know, yeah, I'm sorry, your crane is definitely shut down. The brake on it has failed, and it's a safety issue if you use this. Okay, that's no problem, Matthew. When can we get it up? And I'll be like, well, I've already looked into this, and unfortunately, there's a backlog on getting brakes. They're shipped from Europe, and this is going to be 3 weeks that you are literally not going to be able to use your crane. And they say, that's a problem, Matthew. We're going to be losing $180,000 a day. So I had to learn how to be smooth and finesse that, because the facts were the facts. It was going to take 3 weeks. It doesn't matter if you try to pay to expedite it or not. It's 3 weeks to manufacture the product, the part that they need. So I learned really quickly how to talk with people and deal with people, usually in a very high stress situation. And I found that I really enjoyed diffusing those high stress situations. And I really enjoyed just helping people, offering whatever solutions I could to make things better for them. And a lot of the times, like in the crane environment, I would offer solutions that they just wouldn't think of, like other ways they can use a different part of their crane and things like that. So all along this time, I was also a student for InventRight. And I kept thinking to myself how much I love engaging with people and helping people. And I've always just kind of been nice and helpful to people any way I can. You know, I had a buddy just reach out to me the other day, you know, of any job opportunities, and I've just helped him out. If I can help people, I'm all about it. So it was around that time that I realized that I'm really good at helping people. I like helping people and I love inventing. So, you know, I ended up telling the crane industry, I just said, hey, you know, I love cranes, but I love inventing more and I love helping people more. And I, you know, I made it very clear to InventRight that, you know, I would very much like an opportunity if one ever arises. And I made that very, very clear. And, you know, they basically asked me, well, why? And I said the same stuff. Is like my two main passions in life are helping people and inventing. And I can't think of a better place to explore that.
Yeah.
So and that's how I ended up, you know, eventually getting the phone call from Andrew saying, hey, we're doing some interviewing and we'd like to give you a shot. And that's how I got here.
Well, welcome aboard. We are excited to have you. And your story is inspirational, motivational. There's so many great key nuggets of information in here. And I know that anyone who's going to become one of your students is going to enjoy working with you. So that's just absolutely wonderful. I want to thank you so much, Matthew, for being on the podcast with me and the interview, being part of the InventRight family and the community and the team. And I'm sure we will have more of these opportunities to speak in the future and do another show. And thank you so much for being an InventRight student and now also an InventRight coach.
Thank you. I really appreciate all that. And I'm really excited to see where all this goes. And I'm one of those people that kind of push the envelope. So I'm going to keep pushing myself with InventRight, not just be a coach, but actively be involved and help wherever I can to basically help InventRight to expand and continue to evolve. It's done nothing but evolve from its beginning of its inception. And I hope to be a major contributor of that and help it to continue to evolve and become even more amazing than it already is. It's already an amazing, amazing platform. But it's getting better. I feel like it's getting better every single day. It's just an amazing thing. And I'm very proud and happy to be part of it all.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. And for all of our listeners out there, if you have not yet taken a look and checked out our YouTube videos that so many of us talk about on these podcasts, go to InventRight TV on YouTube. You can also go to our website, InventRight.com, and take a look at all of the great information and resources that we have on there, especially the services that we provide in our coaching with our coaching programs. And for those of you who would like more information, you can also reach out to us and schedule an appointment to speak with any of our advisors with regards to our programs. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you again at another InventRight podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Key to Licensing, One Simple Idea, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can also check out our YouTube shows, InventRight TV, with Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Join me next week for another interview. Thank you for listening and keep inventing.